How's that right there? Is that going to do it? Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 18, you find the place you're able to stand. We'll read there a passage or so in Matthew chapter number 18. And notice, if you will, please, is that when we look into that, we'll just read the one passage there. And we'll look in verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart tonight. We just want to say thank you for saving our souls, adding us to the church, and we look with great anticipation to thy soon coming again. Now, bless, I pray, this service this evening in Jesus' name. Amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on the authority of the church. When you begin to look into it, you'll find that people just seemingly want to come and go, lie, cheat, connive, rob God, steal, whatever they want to do up in life, and just kind of live the way they want to live, go where they want to go, do what they want to do, act like they want to act, and then call it to be all right because they're part of the church of the living God. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that it's not that easy. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find there's some heresies that are being taught. In verse number 20 is one of them. Verse 20 of that same chapter there. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, people that don't really want to go to church and say, well, you know, we met together and there was two or three, and God said, well, hold on a minute and hold the phone a minute. That isn't an excuse for you to be able to duck out on an established church. What that is that if you're starting a church, it ought to be at a designated place at a designated time on the Lord's Day. It ought to be that, buddy, that you're starting up for the glory of God, and it ought to meet there at a designated time with a designated people and so forth and on. It's not a matter of all that business there that, hey, I'll tell you what, let's do. You know, here it is getting close. It's a holiday. Let's just, there's two or three of us here meet together and God will meet with us and we'll call that church. That ain't going to be church. That ain't church if you cannot be able to involve. Now, you may start it in your house and you may finally graduate to a storefront building. You might even have a man that's dying with hepatitis that leaves you a building. But make no mistake about it, dear friend, is that God intends a church to be able to carry out the Great Commission, which is to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out there's certainly there's an authority. Now, we ought not, and people are always, you know, hollering about this and that and so forth and on, and trying to accuse others being a tattletale and so forth and on, and as far as that's concerned, let me tell you right now is the Church of the Living God's a serious business. And whenever you look into the Church of the Living God, if you've got a problem with somebody, go to them, talk to them about it. Now, if they won't hear you, the verses above that, if they won't hear you, then take two or three witnesses. If they don't do that, then tell it to the church. And if they don't hear the church, buddy, and they don't put the fear of God in them, then you're looking at somebody that's going to be treated as a heathen, as a publican man, a person that does not know the Lord. That's how you're going to treat them. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, we're always talking about it, you and I, that we are connected one with the other. I'm responsible for you, you're responsible for me, and I have a greater responsibility. See, I have to give an account for you as well as for myself. You don't have that luxury. But let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that the church ought to be in unity. That's the reason over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he said they ought to be able to preach with the same mind. They ought to have the same judgment. And as a result of that, they ought to be talking about the same thing. You know how you get that unity? By the same Bible. You know the reason why the church going to hell in a handbasket across the country? Or what calls itself a church? You know the reason why they're going to hell in a handbasket? I can tell you why, because they don't even have the same Bible. As a result of that, you and I ought to recognize and realize that the authority is in the blessed word of the Lord. It's not in a denominational tag. It's in the Word of the Lord. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that one of the reasons why that when we have a church covenant, it's back there on the back. One of the things it says back there is that out of all of that, and you ought to read it sometime, you know, since then, they've some of them, the more liberal, have changed it. Wherever he says you're to abstain from the sale of the use of liquor, one of the revised versions, they leave that out because they know most of their people are drunks. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, as soon as you leave this place, you're supposed to unite with another church of like faith to help carry out the Great Commission. And so as a result of that, you don't just go around, stir up a sting, take on all, and have no accountability whatsoever. We have an accountability that we have before God and through the local church. In fact, is that whenever you're looking at it and you're thinking, well, I don't think it's nobody's business and all that, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm fixing to change your thinking. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, if you will, please, over in 1 Corinthians in chapter, I believe it's in chapter number 5. We're going to look there just for a second. In chapter 5, verse 1. Now, here's what happened to the church at Corinth. At the church at Corinth, said it's reported commonly there's fornication among you. Such fornication is not as much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now, here's a fornicator committing fornication with his father's wife. I mean, I guess his stepmom looked pretty good to him. He thought, you know, hey, she looks good to my daddy, and she looked good to him. And as a result of that, he was committing fornication with his father's wife. So that'd be a stepmama, would it not? In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find, and he said in verse 2, and you're puffed up, and you've not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. Oh, words, Earl, there was people looking down their noses at him, and man, they would blow like a dragon, you know. But that's not the answer to it. What he said was, is that the Gentiles don't even act like this. Verily, to be absent from the in the body and present in the spirit, we've judged already, and as though I were present with you concerning he that had done this deed. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one over to Satan, you think it's not the church's business to deliver people over to the devil? You want to live like the devil and act like the devil and run with the devil? It's the job of the church to turn you over to the devil. He said to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good, and know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? In other words, sin begets other sins, and as a result of that, you let a little sin go, and here and there, first thing you know, it's going to spread, not only to you and your members, but others round about you. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, for or with the covetous, or the extortioner, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If a man's called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, an idolater, a railer, a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not eat. I wonder what God thinks about, you know, when we've got people that are family and friends and kin folks that are like that, drunks, fornicators, adulterers, and so forth and on, and rapists and murderers, and I'm just saying the list goes on and on and on. And then, you know, we're going to take a good stand at all that business there until it gets Christmas time. Then we're all going to sit down and have Christmas dinner together. I appreciate the one, there you go, amen, because I know I'm right. How do you think God feels about what we have violated concerning the word of the Lord? In this lesson here that we're looking at, and by the way, you know, I will say to you that, if you will, I've got kin folks just like yours are. Sometime, if you want to, you can take a shot at some of mine. And don't worry about it. They're big enough to take it, or either they're drunk enough to not even know you're talking to them. He says, for what have I to do to judge them that are without? Now, what's he talking about without? He's talking about people that are without the body. He's talking about people that are not in church. Do not ye judge them that are within? You're inside the body of Christ. You've got a responsibility to live right, walk right, talk right, act right, and so forth and on. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, he said, put away from among you that yourselves that wicked person. Now, here's how the authority of the church, how strong that it is. While you're turning over there to the book of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter number 2. Now, you know, we get together, we're meeting in one place. We meet right here every week. In fact, we meet three times a week. And as a result of that, you and I, when we bring back, you know, the church over there that at Antioch, that's where we were called Christians first, remember that? And you know, 250 years after Christ, the church at Antioch was still meeting in one place and still having people come and report there. That's the way that whenever we get a mission letter, sometimes we have a missionary and people that we're supporting that go out across the world and preach the gospel to every creature, is that they report back as to what they're doing and so forth and on. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that lesson that's there, is that the church at Corinth said, hey, you don't just walk around, puff up, talk bad about that person. You deal with that and you go ahead and exclude that out of your congregation. If you'll exclude it out of your congregation, then it won't contaminate all your congregation. And not only that, I'll turn them over to the devil and let him buffet their flesh so their spirit can be saved in the day of judgment. Now look, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 8. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Well, let's back up, verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. What punishment was that? Got excluded and turned over to the devil. So counterwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, unless perhaps that one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. For wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, and whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom did I forgave it? For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, and furthermore, he said, whenever I got to Troas to preach Christ, the gospel, the door was opened unto me of the Lord. I had no rest so far in my spirit and so forth and on. I want to say to you that our job is to help people come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. Our job is to help people to be exhorted into living right, looking right, walking right, talking right, and spitting white. It's our job. Now, it doesn't mean everybody's going to do it. Listen, you know, one time we had a man here that preached to deaf. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. I've been preaching to deaf people for over 50 years. I'm glad they ain't all deaf. You see what I'm talking about? See, there's a difference between trying to preach the gospel and then legislate righteousness. We're not able to lord over God's heritage or lord over their house. You see, that's not my job to be able to lord. And by the way, do you realize that, oh, that among Baptists is that you're going to find out is that when the Lord shall come again, is that the forsaken, you know, when God said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, that's somebody that doesn't have enough regard for God, the Bible, nor the church to just be faithful to the house of God. I mean, that's what that is. That ain't because that all of a sudden you missed a Sunday. That ain't because that all of a sudden, you know, I know some people and I pastor people that are in church, out of church, more out than we're in, and we don't have anything like that going on here. But I got to tell you right now is that I pastored a little old church one time up around Grand Saline. Man, what a hellhole that was. And anyhow, while I was up there and all that business there, you know, I would knock on a door, you know, every now and again trying to get some new blood and this and that and all that business there. And, of course, I knocked on a lady's door and I said, hi, how are you doing? Well, I want to invite you to come to church. And she said, "Oh, yeah?" I said, "Yeah, are you going to church anywhere?" "Yes." "Oh, yes, I am." "Well, where are you going?" And she said, right down there at the corner there. And she called the name. I can think, it wasn't it First Baptist Church that we had in Grand Saline there? I said, "Really? You're a member there?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Good stand?" "Oh, yeah." I said, do you know the preacher's name or anything like that?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I'm a good member." I said, I've been a member there, I don't know how long." I said, "Well, you hadn't been for 3 months. I've been here 3 months, and I've never laid eyes on you. And I'm the new pastor, by the way. I'd like to." She didn't really want to hug my neck or anything. Break it, maybe, but no, yeah. I want to say to you that, if you will, what a sad day that is. The Church of the Living God meets in one place, meets at a designated time, meets with a designated people, meets with a designated purpose, and that is to carry out the Great Commission, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you that whenever you, one of these days, and you know, God does move people around, I'm not knocking that, but you don't have to throw a conniption fit and have a non-biblical reason to all of a sudden, because you want to tuck tail and run. And if you do, then you're going to meet down the road with the Lord's people somewhere. You're going to meet the Lord one of these days. You know, I've seen people, you know, that used to be members sitting around on a bar stool. You're thinking, when did I see them on the bar? I didn't go in the bar room and see all that right there. We didn't have any snazzy sounding places like lug nuts. I mean, it tells you right there, you're a lug, and you're a nut for showing up down there in there. God bless you. Thank you very much. But I'm just saying to you that, if you will, on the job, and people will tell you, and people will tell on them, "Oh, yeah, you go to that church there where it's on. Yeah, I seen him the other night, you know, at Do Drop In. It don't shoot Cheryl, she's a crawler." And, I got to tell you, the authority of the church is a very serious matter. Make no mistake about that, let me tell you. Over in the book of Acts, in chapter number 11, we're not going to turn there, but we were called Christians first at Antioch. Somebody said, "Well, why do you call yourself a Christian?" We didn't. Our enemies called us Christ followers, called us Christians, and over at Antioch is where it first happened. And let me say to you, they were those disciples that went out from that church at Antioch and preached the gospel. And then you'll find out, as they would come back and gather together, and they would give a report to the things that they had heard and the things they had been recommended and the things they rehearsed, the thing they preached, even the controversies that they would get into every now and again. See, the Jews couldn't believe that the Gentiles could even be saved, and the Gentiles couldn't believe God wanted to save a Jew, and they were just at odds, and there was a lot of controversy that went on. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson here, you'll find is that the church is and does and has authority more than we might ever realize that it does have. You see, I'm not just responsible to myself, and I'm not responsible just for me and my family. I'm responsible for the Church of the Living God that I pastor, and in the liberty that God has given us, and in the bonds of the Word of the Lord, and by the Spirit and His leadership. Now, I want to close with this saying so that you'll know it. Over there in the book of Revelation, in chapter number 1, you ain't got to turn there, but in verse number 4, he's got 7 churches that he names in that chapter. One of them's the church at Ephesus. One of them's the church at Smyrna. One of them's the church at Pergamos. One of them's the church at Thyatira. One of them's the church at Sardis. One of them's the church at Philadelphia. And the other one's the church over there, if you will, at Laodicea. Now, these are not the only churches that were in existence during that time. In fact, is you'll find these are churches, 7 of them, that he took out, that he wanted to show something about what was going to transpire and take place in the church age. We live in the Laodicean age, where it's the voice of the people now instead of the voice of God. But over there in the Revelation that we were talking about, there were more churches than that. One of them was Colossae, one of them Hierapolis, one of them at Troas. These seven that were pulled out, beside those three that I just mentioned, they were there for a purpose. They might show us the church age and it getting smaller and smaller or getting more corrupt until that Jesus comes again. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth, he said. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, I'm glad to be a part. And I said this morning, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Do you realize, you know, that you're a member here at a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, Bible-organized, constituted church? Now, listen to this. The Bible says that you're a member in particular. That means is that God never adds an immoral person. We may vote one in, but God knows the difference. We're not going to have, as a member that's in particular, no unclean person, no extortioner, no drunk, no reveler, no covetous person, nobody peddling false doctrine, nor those that embrace them. Yet, do you know that over there in the book of Revelation, we're not going to take time to turn there, but I'll just tell you about it just so you'll know it, that over there at the church at Pergamos, in chapter number 2 and verse 14, he said, "But I have a few things against thee, and why? Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." It was not that they believed the doctrine of Balaam, but they allowed somebody in their congregation to stay that did believe in the doctrine of Balaam. So I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes it's not what we're practicing, it's what we allow to be practiced in others. And those are some things that won't make you. Now, you're not going to have any trouble. You can go to the Uptown First Baptist Church, just about in any city, catch most of their leadership, including their pastor, sitting around. I can't tell you the times that I've watched them sucking on margaritas. I know the song. I don't know who the guy is that sings it, you know. About that song about in Margarita, waking up in Margaritaville. That must have been a Baptist or a Baptist pastor. I got to say to you that if you will, in closing, and we're going to be done, is that the Bible says that you and I, when we're preaching the gospel, there's no boundaries, land or sea. We ought to be able to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, as you said here tonight, most everybody has received the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin because of the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. But I got to tell you right now, is that I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm not just a religious church goer and part of a Baptist church. I'm glad to know I'm in the family of God, and God's placed me right where we're at. And I belong to God, and let me tell you, he hath many arrows in his quiver, and he can pull any one of us any direction and shoot it any direction he wants to at any given time. And so never forget that. But never get to where you're so independent you're thinking, it ain't none of that church's business what I do. Oh, yes, but it is. I had a man one time that we had the church over in Louisiana. He's dead tonight, and if he's not in hell, there's not one. But here's a guy that was just as godless and wicked and a womanizer as he could be. And so I went and talked to him, just like the scripture said. Then I went and took somebody with me, just like the scripture said. And oh, he was very defiant, very adamant. He didn't care what you, I don't care what you do. Okay, then we're going to go ahead and exclude you. And once we get you excluded, it's going to turn you over to the devil. I seen that man get to the place to where he wanted to humble himself down and wanted to see if he couldn't get his business straightened up with the church. And we did. We did let him back. We did let him back in good fellowship and all that business with the church. And when he started trying to cut up a ruckus again, I said, boy, what, you don't like being part? I don't want you excluding me again. I said, did you have a few nights with the devil you just can't explain? I don't want to have to go through that no more. If you don't believe that, you know how bad it is when you're dealing with the devil and your spouse? Well, that ain't nothing, friend, beside if you're dealing with the real McCoy. See? And let me say to you that if you will, make no mistake about it, I'm glad that I'm a part of the Church of the Living God. And I want to be respectful of the God and His Word and the Church of the Living God. And I want to be able to honor Him. And I want Him to find me busily occupied about His business, that I be not ashamed at His appearing. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Father, we want to thank You for loving us while we were unlovable. We want to say thank You, Lord, for the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead us, guide us, direct us therein. I want to thank You now for the day that we've enjoyed, the food, the time of fellowship. Lord, for the money and the offerings You've supplied. We want to say thank You, Lord, for all You've done and all You're doing. To meet each and every one of these requests as